I have to brag on James because he has a friend here, but we had a joint service with the other church. Remember that? And they're great. They have their worship band and their drums and their guitars, and I like that kind of stuff too. And of course, James did a hymn and did the offertory. And later on, people said, "Wow, that was amazing when he did the offertory." And I go, "Yeah, we get that every week." So thank you, sir. All right, we are going to continue in the book of Hebrews. We did a part of Hebrews when we were at the mission last week, and a couple of the fellows came up and said, "Wow, that's a really good message." And I told them, and I'll tell you the same thing. The great thing about preaching from the book of Hebrews is the book does all the work. You could almost just read the text, and it's a great sermon in black and white on the paper. But we're in a series, and the central theme of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is the supreme everything, and if you just keep your eyes on Jesus, then everything's going to work out fine. And the folks that he's writing to, the Jewish people that he's writing this letter to, had started to drift away from that. So this week we're into chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, open it up to Hebrews chapter 2, because he begins to talk very specifically about this idea of drifting away. So the message of the book is that Jesus is greater. Today we're going to look at this warning about the dangers of drifting. Now, when you hear the word drift, what comes to mind? If you're under 30, it's all those car movies where they slide around the corners and stuff like that. I didn't know that was a thing until somebody says, "Yeah, this is a movie all about drifting." Or, you know, you might think of that movie, remember Castaway, but Tom Hanks had the movie Castaway, and he kind of gets involved with this volleyball. He thinks it's a person, and the volleyball falls off the boat, and he's very distraught because Wilson is floating away, is drifting away from him. So maybe there's lots of images you might get with this idea of drifting, but when we look at it from the point of the scriptures, there's a dangerous kind of spiritual drifting that this passage addresses. So look with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 2, right at the very beginning. And I think we have it on the slide. Yay! So we're going to go two verses, and then we'll advance that slide. It says, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." So he's writing to these Hebrews who maybe some of them met Jesus or were involved with Jesus. This isn't written too much longer past when he was on earth. So there could have been people that had actually experienced him. But even if they hadn't, in the Jewish community, the activities, his ministry, his death, burial, and resurrection were common knowledge. And the disciples have been out now for quite a long time, preaching the gospel and planting churches and all that. So they've heard this. They know about these things. And he's addressing his letter to these believers. There's a real possibility that a believer can drift away from God and his word. You or I may be drifting right now. Drifting is something that happens slowly and gradually. But here's the truth about spiritual drifting. You never drift towards holiness. You drift towards ungodliness. You never drift into faithfulness. You drift into faithlessness. So the only question for us today is, are we drifting away from God? Maybe you know somebody who's drifting away from us. So let's look at four danger signs, just four danger signs that might indicate some drifting is going on. So number one, I drift away when I listen to God's word, but my life doesn't change. In our doctrine class that we were doing, we talked about the idea of sanctification. The idea of sanctification is that you don't change overnight, but you, on a continuous and ongoing basis, you become more and more Christ-like. Doesn't mean you stop sinning. It means you start sinning less. You start becoming more and more. What the Bible, the words that Scripture uses is conforming yourself to the image of Christ. So if you're not doing that, and you've heard the gospel and you've read your Bible and all that, then there's a problem. So spiritual drift occurs when we stop paying attention to what we hear. Verse 1 says it this way. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Have you read your Bible? Do you know what it says? My folks know that one of my pet peeves is people who say, I know what the Bible says, but. I know what the Bible says for me to do in this situation, but my situation is unique. There's circumstances. I know what the Bible tells me to do, but this, and this other thing. Do you know that when somebody says, I know what the Bible says, but everything that they say next is wrong? There is no but. The Word of God is the Word of God. We can't read the Word of God, see it, read it, understand it at some level, and then either not do it or do the opposite. And some people think that as long as they don't do the opposite, you know, it says, thou shalt not kill. As long as I don't kill anybody, I'm okay. But you haven't read your Bible. It's as if you have done violence in your mind towards somebody, it's the same as doing it. If you've committed adultery in your mind, it's the same as doing it, as far as God is concerned. So when you read it and you don't do what it says, that's one thing. It's another thing to say, to read it and to actually know what it says and to convince yourself that you have an excuse not to do it. This is drifting away from the Word of God. These Jewish believers who had heard the gospel, they were happy. They had turned from all the rules and rituals of Judaism to place their faith in Jesus. Good. Amen. But at the time of the writing of this letter, they were kind of starting to slip back. They were slipping back into their old, comfortable religious rituals and rules. The first time they heard the gospel, it was revolutionary. Grace! Wow! That's amazing! I don't have to go up to the temple all the time and sacrifice animals. I don't have to go every year and kind of clean up the slate and then next year I have to come back and do it again. Grace, are you kidding me? Once for all? This is a really good thing. But the more they heard it, the less amazing it seemed. It started to become old hat. So I drift away when I listen to God's word, but it doesn't change my life. The Word of God is supposed to change you. Now, obviously, your outward behavior certainly is the best indication that it's changing you. And that's all the rest of us have to go by. But remember, you're not doing this for us. You can put on the facade on the outside and you can do all of the things in front of people that looks like you're following. But if you're not following in your heart, it's just like those other things. God knows, He's judging what's in your heart. What does it say in Scripture? You are to love your enemies. You are to forgive your enemies. And that's really hard, isn't it? But, and what did he say? But. There is no but. James warns about the danger of being hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus asked them, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That kind of puts it on the line, doesn't it? Oh, Lord, we love you, we worship you, we follow you. Really? And how come you don't do the stuff I tell you? You see, claiming the name of Jesus and not doing what Jesus says, look this up when you get home. Cognitive dissonance. It's a fancy word that means part of your brain is saying one thing and part of your brain is saying another thing and they don't match. It'll create confusion in your life. And you never have to remember that. I'm not going to test you. When you stop obeying God's word, you face the danger of drifting away. Even pastors drift away. We sang the song, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Notice in the third verse, it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. The man who wrote this was a British pastor named Robert Robinson, and he wrote this when he was 22 years old, and before he even went into ministry. And then he became a pastor, and he grew his church to like 1,000 people. This is in 1757. But after a few years of successful ministry, he kind of started drifting away. He got involved with the Unitarian folks. He stopped believing that Jesus was actually the Son of God. His church shrank, shriveled, and almost went away. Years later, he's in a coach. He's going from Cambridge to London, and there's a lady in the coach with him, and she's reading this book of hymnals, or this book of hymns, and she doesn't know who he is, right? So she turns to him, and she says, this is a wonderful hymn. Do you know it? And he recognizes the one that she's reading is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And he just breaks down, and he admits to her that